Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. So we are in our kingdom keys, and we're talking about the kingdom keys, and I'll be respectful of our time, make sure that we get out and have time to do what we need to do. We are starting off. I want to bring up this one scripture that Jim talked about, and it talked about sometimes we feel like we're waiting for the bride. We're the bride, and we're waiting for God. Here's why we're waiting. God isn't late. See, it says Peter's confronted in the second book of Peter. He said he's confronted in the end days. People are going to challenge us that God is asleep, that he's forgotten your promise, he's forgotten what he's done. And Peter reminds the church. He says, I want to remind you that God is not fallen asleep. He's not late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on the account of you. He's holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. So we think, God, why are you waiting on us? It's because he's waiting for everyone to come. He wants all of us. He's given everyone time and space to have a chance to come to him. So I bet you every one of us has one or two or maybe 20 friends that have never heard the Lord, never heard the message. And you know what? God wants that. He wants them to hear. He wants to give them a chance. So sometimes we look at this and we're like, Lord, why are we waiting for this? Why do we wait for things? It's because he wants us all to get out there and be honest with people and share the gospel with people. So I just want to encourage you that when Jim said that, I'm like, yeah, that is so true. And I want to share that scripture in 2 Peter. But let's stand together. We want to read our scripture together. It's Isaiah 61:1. We're going to start off where we finished off. So where we finished off yet last Sunday, we're going to start off this Sunday. And let's read together with Miss Sonia. You can read on screen or on my tablet.
All right, please read with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
Thank you, Father. We thank you that you've given the keys of the kingdom to Christ, and that these keys are given to us if we look and we listen and we learn. Father God, it's just like any key. We need to learn how to use these keys, because we might have possession of keys, but that doesn't mean we know how to use these keys. We don't know how to put them in the lock or what lock to put them in. So, Father, as you give us wisdom from Scripture, Father, open our eyes to see how these keys work so that we can operate in this blessing and be a blessing to those around us, to teach others to know how good you are and how faithful that you've come to set the captives free, that you've come to open up the blind eyes and to set those, Father God, who are bound, set them free in liberty. So, Father, we thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Jesus spoke this word in his home church just after he got filled with the Holy Spirit, went out into the wilderness for 40 days. The enemy came out and tempted Jesus. He passed the temptations, flying colors. It wasn't even a temptation. But he came back out, went to his home church, and spoke this word in Isaiah 61:1. When they heard this word, Jesus ended it, rolled the scroll back up, ended it, and passed it to the priests and to the Levites and the Sadducees and Pharisees. And he said, you know, this word's fulfilled. I've fulfilled this word. And he passed the scroll back. Well, they weren't happy. They're like, what are you talking about? And they wanted to throw him off a cliff. But praise the Lord, it wasn't his time to go. But I want to read a scripture that continues in this very same thought. And it's just a blessing because God's got this, he's got this understanding. It says in Isaiah 61:11, which is the end of this very same verse, for as the earth brings forth its bud, also the garden causes the things that are sown into it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So what he's saying here is God has planted the word, the seed. We know in Jesus, he talks about the seed. It's the word of God. He planted it in the earth. Jesus gives us that story about, well, what's your earth like? Are you stony ground? Are you hard ground? Are you full of weeds and the cares of this world? strangling out the blessing, what God has given this seed to be. But he says, I plant this word inside of us. Jesus is fulfilling what this is. Plants the word, and it's God that's going to cause it to bring forth. So we see it this way. Paul says it a little bit differently in 1 Corinthians 3:6. He's talking about Apollos, and Paul says, I planted, Paul did. And Apollos, what he did is he watered, but who brought the increase? See, it's God that brings the increase. And so it says, let me read on to it. So then neither he or Apollos, he's saying, he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are all one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Just like Jesus said, we're the field. The word's planted in us. How that comes forth depends on what's the condition of our heart. What are we doing? Are we tearing up those things that are blocking his word from coming out? We come to church and we look great, but we haven't really unlocked all those things inside of us that are eating us or trapping us or binding us. And we've learned that through our lessons, so I'm not going to repeat what we've learned up to this point, but they're on our app. Listen to them. They're great lessons, but we need to let go of those things that are hurting, holding, and stopping the word of God from producing in us. So we're the field, and Jesus says here, Paul says here, we're the field, and God, we're fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. We are what God wants to do and create in us, that God's building something great and powerful in us, but it's God that's bringing the increase. In John 3:13-16, you might recognize John 3:16. It says, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who has come down from heaven, that is the one. He's the Son of God. He's the Son. He's the one that's from heaven. As Moses was lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, Moses lifted up that rod that had the serpent when they sinned, and God sent out snakes to bite those who were out there sinning into the wilderness. And they cried out to Moses, man, save us. We're dying out here. He's like, well, stop sinning. No. Instead of saying that, he goes, no, well, let me do something. Let me lift you up. A model of Christ. He makes this model of this snake. And he lifts up this snake. He says, anybody that looks at this, they will not die. They will live and they'll be healed. And so it's a representation. And Jesus is modeling that example. In John 3:16, he says, just like in the wilderness, as that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the earth, God so loved the world, God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God brings the increase. All we have to do is lift him up. See, and so this key to this kingdom is the edifying of the body, is that we're edifying of Christ. We are the body of Christ. So we want to increase this body. Amen. I want to increase this body. We want to increase this body. But what's a relief for me as a shepherd and a pastor is that I'm not in charge of the increase. Why is that a blessing to me? Well, it's a blessing because if I get my eyes on the increase, I can get my eyes on the wrong importance. I'm just being honest. I can get my eyes on the money. I can get my eyes on the power it brings. I can get my eyes on the wisdom it brings, the influence that it brings. We can be a mile long, a mile across, and an inch deep. And we've done nothing for the Lord. All we've done is just grown this thing, and it's really not made an impact in our city. We're so self-consumed because we only care about us and our growth. We don't care about the depth in which we're growing. So when he says, I'll bring the increase, he's talking about us being increased and growing us. And if that grows us, and we from growing with him grows the body, that's perfect. It's right order. See, this is what we're here for, is to edify the body of Christ, not necessarily grow the church. See, See how we can twist that? So it's a relief to me. We talk about binding things and things that bind us and hold us. For as a pastor and a shepherd, that relieves me. I'm not in charge of growing this body. I am in charge of growing the people. And that's a relief to me because sometimes I get my eyes on stuff. I can get my, and I can be honest. And when Sonia and I started this church 10 years ago, Lord, we said, Lord, we'll take anybody. We will do your work. We'll do your church. We'll do anything you ask. And we don't care who they are, we'll take them. Because we don't care if they're important to you, they're important to me. When Jesus gave the example of the wedding feast, he says, go out to the byways and the highways, invite the good people and the bad people. He said, invite them both. So why is it in our churches we want to just invite good people who have good bank accounts? Honestly, we've had people come to this body and we knew what they had done in the past churches they were in two of the past churches they were in. We knew what they had done. And the churches even contact us and say, these people that are here in your body, your church, we know they're going there now. Be careful. And we treated them no different than we did anyone else. Because if we did, first of all, I broke my promise. Lord, I'll take anybody. Oh, but when I'm held to that, I'm going to control somebody. I'm going to say, oh, well, I better put this person under my foot, under my control, and not allow them to grow. See, so if I did that, which is easy to do, and I'm just going to be human, it's easy to want to do because I can justify it. I can say anything I want. But it didn't give them the chance to grow and change what their past was. But by doing that, I have to pay a price to that because that can blow up in my face. But who's bringing the increase? So how is that blowing up in my face? See, so if people leave because this person or people are saying things and they did the same thing in two other churches they were in before, I got to give them a chance to say what they say and do what they do because it's not me growing this. It's God growing this, and I've got to put my faith forward because I can't please God without faith. And it requires a lot of faith to have people come in and go, yeah, I want to bless you. I want to give you opportunities for ministry. But I'm thinking, and I'm worried. I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, this could not go well, but who's in charge of the increase? See, I'm not. So I can instantly let go of that and go, okay, but I'm not in charge of increase. I'm in charge of people. Are they people? They're people. So then I'm in charge of them. I want to unlock them. I want to be the keys to them and give them a chance. And if they don't decide to do it, then it's not me not giving them an opportunity. But it's me giving them an opportunity to be a blessing. Go ahead. Let this happen, and oh man, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But my eyes, luckily, in my heart's praise, Lord, is not on that. I'm not worried. That's not my job. I'm not worried about growing the body because God says, I'll bring the increase. You just plant and you just water. Now, some plant, I plant. Sometimes Jesse will water or Jim will water or others will water when you guys come up here and speak the word and help take a tithing offering and communion. It's just a blessing to have everyone participate. But as we see this, the body to be edified, I want to kind of remind a story that reminded me of a story when I was younger. About 27 years ago, I was in a restaurant. I did a lot of restaurant work. And it was one of my first restaurants. And I saw this model. I was on fire. I was on fire for God. And I was the general manager of this restaurant, and I saw this model that Jesus was talking about, and I'm like, man, we're not living this model here in my job. And that bothered me. I'm like, Lord, you said in your word that you didn't come to be served, but you came to be a servant. And I'm like, I'm in charge of this restaurant. It's my place. I want to be a servant to serve. Now, I didn't have a lot of models to follow in church, unfortunately. I didn't have a lot of models to follow in church. We tend to do this hierarchy. Pastor's in charge, and then everybody kind of, you know, and well, Jesus is is our servant, but pastor's above Jesus. You know, I don't know. But we tend to, and I didn't have a lot of models in the restaurant industry to follow either. Just being honest with you. And I just came to my staff and I said, guys, I want to model something different. I want to serve you to do what you do really well. And instead of me telling you what to do, I need you to grow and mature and take on the responsibility to do it without me telling you. What I want you to do, I want you to own it. And I want to empower you to do it. And the more you do that, the more I'll pour into you and you pour into others. And let's make it a, let's call it a, I think we call it a social experiment. Let's call this a social experiment. If it doesn't work really well for you at the end of 6 months or whatever, we'll just stop what we're doing. We'll go right back to me telling you to do everything. Because I'm good with that. I was 32. I was young, you know, and I know you guys are looking at me now going, Pastor, you're not more than 32 now. Thank you. After service, we will deliver you from that lying spirit. But I was young, I was passionate, I had a fire for God, and I'm like, man, if Lord, if you place me here, this word has to work. These keys have to open kingdoms just as they do in church. I don't have to be a pastor to see your word work. Because then I missed it. I'm just taking a step. I'm believing God's going to do this. So I want to edify the body of Christ without them knowing I'm doing it. By loving them. By empowering them, by equipping them, by teaching them to take ownership in this adventure that we're going to take hold of and give them an opportunity to be who they are. But they're going to have to figure that out, because when you're a co-owner, you've got other co-owners with you. You're not the only cook in the kitchen. You got other cooks, and if I'm equipping you, I'm equipping them all. Now, some of them took me up on it. Others thought I was a little, maybe they were right, But some took me up and I said, you know, I'll pour into you and I'll teach you how to lead. See, now I don't want you to be an employee here. I want you to be an owner here, and I'll teach you how to. What I'm going to do is edify you. I need you to edify others. I'm going to pour into you as much as you want. And if you say stop, I'll stop. But if you don't ask for help, I'm not jumping in on your lunch and forcing it on you. If you don't call me, you don't ask me, I'm not implying that you need help. You have to ask me. See, then there's an assumption you're doing something incorrect. And now I'm back to what? Now I'm back to telling you what to do. So it's a slippery slope, but man, I wanted to try it. I'm like, God, this is your word, that we're here to edify the body of Christ. And I can only do that by empowering people. So it brought me to this scripture here in Ephesians. Turn to your scripture. Ephesians 4. And it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So grace was given to you, not according to your gift or to your price, but to Christ's price. Christ gave you a gift to each one of you. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. What that means is he grabbed the strong man that had the keys of the kingdom, and he took them. See, we know this. We see this in the book of Revelations when he was talking with Paul. He says, I'm the first, I'm the last. He who gives life and who was dead, behold, I am the Alpha, I'm the Omega, and I have the keys of Hades and hell. This is Jesus talking to John. So we know that he went and made captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men that they should ascend. That means, but that he also first descended first to the lowest parts of the earth, grabbed the keys of the kingdom, and he who ascended is also the one who ascended above all heaven, and that is in full in all. So this is the fulfillment of Jesus. Now he says he gave gifts to men. He says in the very next verse, he says, he has given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, teachers. Those are the gifts he gave us. But he gave us three keys when he gave us these gifts. So I'm going to read this right here. He gave us three keys to do this. He says, for the equipping of the saints, key number one. to equip the saints. Key number two, for the work of the ministry. Key number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he tells you the next word is till in this sentence. What's that saying to you? When you're creating a sentence and you want to give a direction, until this is your direction, you're going to edify, you're going to minister, you're going to equip the saints until we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Here's the direction: to be a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. But he warns us, he says, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. Haven't we done that? I mean, isn't that what the church ended up being? It's just this immaturity of the body that we are just taking advantage of people and our crafty words and talented speaking twist the perversion of the truth. We need to be grown. He gives us the warning that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. That means we're up and down. We're all around. The word is not like that. He says, but. Now, in this sense, he's not given a period in this yet, so just so you understand. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may all grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ. The church. We are the body of Christ, and he is the head. So he wants us to all grow up into this image of Christ, for whom the whole body was joined and knit together, that every joint supplies according to its effective work, which every part does its share. Time for you to share. Time for you to do your share. He says, for every part to do its share, which causes, he tells you what this is going to cause, it causes the growth of the body. For the edifying, that was one of the keys we received, to edify, for the edifying of itself in love, period. Now he's done. That was a long paragraph, that was a long sentence. But what he's telling us is that God wants to equip us, but we got to stop being children. See, so what I challenge to my, I'll just give this in my restaurant example, okay? So what I challenged to my staff was, I can't keep telling you what to do, or you're being a child. You've got to see what needs to be done and do it. We're going to keep going to the same problem. If I keep telling you what to do and you keep acting like a child, then we keep falling in the same problem. You've got to grow up. If you want to do this social experiment that we're going to do here, think about it. We're going to go nowhere if I'm just going to boss you around every time you come to work. Honestly, let's try this experiment. What's it going to hurt you? I'm not going to pay you any less. And you'll get to give your good ideas what will make us better, because I hear you have a lot to say about making things better. So easy. You do it. But what it gave us a chance to do, us, the body, the church, and the work, what it gave us a chance to do is to work together and to learn together and communicate together and build together and see that we're all part of this team. And pretty soon I'll just tell you, the results of this went crazy. I didn't really quite know where it would go. I didn't know what it would do, but it went nuts. These people were crazy folks. I don't know where I got them all from. They were nuts. But they would just do things that were just amazing. They're like, I'd post my P&L. If anybody knows what a P&L, it's a profit and loss sheet. I'd post my P&L sheets on the walls in the back of the kitchen and say, this is our P&L sheet. We were number 4 in the region for food costs. We were number 2 in the region for liquor costs. We had number 5 in the region for labor. They're like, what? Yeah, what are you going to do about that? You're a co-owner. What are you going to do about that? Yeah, you could. You could quit, right? And then go to another job that treats you like dung too. Yeah, go ahead, quit, if that's your motive. But if you want to do something about that, let me pour into you. Let me pour into you. Let me help you see. The word edify. Let me edify you. See, the body of Christ, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, teachers, are to edify, key number one, yeah, to edify people. And then to equip people, yeah, to do the work of the ministry. But if you're not pouring into them and you're not edifying, then how would they know? You're just, are you going to just scold them when they do it wrong? That sucked. You did that terribly. Why'd you do that? And the guy's going, well, I ain't going to try again if that's all you're going to call me out on. You know? So you can't do that. You can't go in there and go, you did a crappy job. He needs to be edified, or she.
That's right.
Amen. Can we do that at church? Sure we can. Well, absolutely. If we can do it in business. I was just following this model. It was in the scripture. I was following this model to see that this scripture can be done and that this can be worked on. And that God gave us three keys. And so I was just so on fire. I was just so on fire to see God's word move through what we were doing. And I wanted to try this out. It was an experiment. But I wanted to try this out and see how this worked. And they went crazy. They were like, man, we're number two. Uh-uh. We're number one, and we're going to fix that. How can we do that? And I'd go, well, okay, well, here's some ideas. Here's some things I see. Here's some things that, you know, could be an opportunity to improve and do stuff. And I'd give them ideas, and they would just start to just go crazy. I mean, they own that restaurant so much that we'd have our area supervisor come in the building, and he'd park his car out front. Of course, where does your area supervisor park? You know, at the door, the closest to the door, you know. And my staff would go up, excuse me, is that your car? Yeah. You work for this company? Yeah. Well, then you need to be parking in the back where the employees park. I'm the supervisor here. Who pays your check? The company. Well, then you need to park in the back where the employees park. Because our customers that pay our check, they're coming into your spot. You think that area supervisor said, oh my gosh, you're fired? No, they'd be like, holy cow, what did you do to these people? I'm like, man, I just set them free. I just empowered them. I just equipped them to do the work that they were called to do in the first place. Hello? We do things like on a Friday night. I think I've told some of you guys this. We do things on a Friday night where the restaurant was filthy, right? Amen. The restaurant can get dirty. Everybody knows the kitchen can get a little messy. We do things on a Friday night. I'd go, hey, I'm going to bring some people back from the front, some customers, in about what? How much time you need? About 5 minutes? 5 minutes? They're like, 5 minutes? Yeah, okay, okay. I'm going to bring them back here and show them what a great staff we have here and that you own this place. It's a lot better than telling them pick up a broom and clean this junk, right? They're like, oh, yeah, we own it, we own it. They'd get out water and splash it with soap and water and scrub it down, and they got tickets in the window. We're on a 30-minute wait. They're splashing it down, squeezing it off, wiping down their counters really fast. It's amazing what you can do when you want to. Yeah. And then so I'd bring these people back, a family of four, and say, hey, this is Jim, and that's Joe, and that's John. They're the ones that cooked your food. Aren't they amazing? And they'd be back there clapping, and thank you so much for cooking my food. It was amazing. And man, these guys were, cooks already have a lot of pride, right? Oh, you ain't seen pride in a cook until you see a customer come back there and praise them. Whoo, I had to widen the back door just to get their heads out. I was glad to do that, too. I was glad to make it a bigger door. Because they were proud of what they did. But instead of me beating them to a pulp and saying, oh, you know, this is what you should do, this is what you could do, this is what, I equipped them to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to be treated like people. So when I see this model in business, there's just no one that can talk me out of this model in church. It's like a testimony. Once you have your testimony, there's no one that can talk you out of what it is that God did a miracle in your life through faith. Oh, God did a miracle of faith. He broke open the piggy bank, $300, and rolled it up and dropped it in the offering. No one can argue with, does that work? Yeah, that works. You know, no one's going to tell you different. So when I see this work and I see this example of what God wants to do for our church and for us, I'm like, all we need to do is equip each other to do the work of the ministry. Is there a price to pay? Absolutely, you bet. You bet you'll pay a price. And that's really what God's looking for at us. If we say, yeah, we want to do these things. Yeah, we say we want these keys. Yeah, we say we want to release a new blessing, a new anointing on the church. We want to do these things. But there's a price we have to pay for this. Because when you don't get everything your way, or it doesn't happen your way, it doesn't work out the way you thought it should. First of all, you realize, wow, leadership's not so easy after all. Yeah, exactly. You realize, wow, much is given, much is expected of me. This is not so easy. And you start to have respect for those people who are around you in leadership. Man, like these people work hard, or these people give a lot. It's not just doesn't fall in their lap. I thought it did. But it helped them to see what we walk through and what we can do. And working together, it gives them that confidence that no matter what happens, you'll never fail. First of all, God said you won't. Second of all, I guarantee you won't. Because my job is to edify for the work of the ministry, right? To help you, to equip you. Yeah. So these keys will open up every door for you. But there's a requirement for you. You got to grow up. Stop being children tossed about to and fro with every word of doctrine. It takes our maturity to say, you know what? I hear what that person's saying. I just don't buy that. I'm not going for that. I'm not believing that. And it takes our life to say, I believe in God's word versus what this person says. And I'm going to stop doing things halfway. You know, Ananias, now we've not edited this from the tape, but Ananias and Sapphira were killed. You know why? They gave 50% of what they sold their house to be. They gave 50%. Now, I'm going to tell you as a pastor, you give 50% of what you say, I'll be happy as ever. I will not be killing you. But why were they killed? Why did the Holy Spirit kill them? Watch this. Because they were half-hearted in doing what they promised the Lord. And you'll be accountable to that. Why does the Lord not fill our churches? You know why I feel like the Lord doesn't fill our churches? It'd be, what the newspaper would say. Church and pavilion was filled with God. The Holy Spirit came and 20 people were killed. Because we were half-hearted in what we were doing. He does it out of mercy that he doesn't come to the churches sometimes. Because we're in it halfway. Like, I'll give this a try. This never will work with a try. I'll give an effort to it, but if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to back. This won't work with a half-hearted attempt. It's like a marriage. You ever been married before? And you go, oh, Mark, I love you so much. Mark, I'm just going to love you. And if this gets hard, I'm going to give it all half-heartedness that I can. And if it gets hard, I'm out. How long would that marriage work with me and Mark? Not long. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100. And when we come to church, we can't come to church and go, you know what? I'm sitting and I'm waiting for the pastor to tell me what to do. You've already missed the calling of God on your life. Because now you put me in a role that I don't want to be, and even Christ didn't want to be. He said, I didn't come to be served or to be served. I came to serve. So if you're going to put me in a position where I have to tell you what to do, I've already missed it with you. And all you're doing that for is for your cover. So if it doesn't work out, well, I did what he said and it didn't happen. So now I have an excuse to leave. because it was a half-hearted attempt anyway. But when you come in and go, this is my heart, this is my mission, this is my calling, and Pastor, I need all the help I can because I'm not equipped nor prepared, nor am I able to do any of this, but I need your help. And you give the Lord all that you've got for this. I guarantee it won't be easy. I'm just telling you, it won't be. If it is, you've missed God. You've thought too small. Your vision was too little. I want to be a door opener. I'm just going to open the door for the Lord. And if you fail at that, I am really serious worried about you. But if that's all you want to do in the kingdom of God, then we're not building the kingdom of God. We're not doing what you've been given. You're taking the talents that God has given you. See, God said, I gave some 5 and some 10 and some 1. But he didn't say, I gave some none. But we come here with no talents. We come here with no work. We come here with no, well, I'm just waiting to see what door the Lord opens up for me. Well, he'll open up nothing for you. Shoot for nothing, and you'll hit it every time. And that's the way we come. We come to church and go, well, I'm just waiting to see if this works out well. But Jesus didn't come with that heart. And what's interesting, remember when Jesus, we started this scripture out, and I'll end this. Go ahead, and Sonia, I'll get you. When you're on the keyboard, they'll think I'm going to stop soon, so it'll make them feel better. Who says I have 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes. Is it okay? 5 minutes? Raise your hand if it's okay if I go 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. All right, we're going. I'm just kidding. Okay. So listen to this. When Jesus spoke to the church, he just got back filled with the Holy Spirit. He opens the scroll, Isaiah 61:1, and he says, man, by this reading of this word, I have fulfilled the keys of the kingdom. He described the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to set the captives free. Rolls the scroll, gives it back. But what's interesting about that word, Jesus had not done anything yet. He just got out of the wilderness. So how can he say that? How can he say, oh, I've completed this, it's done. He hadn't done anything. Because in his intention of his heart, it was done. This is going to happen. I'm doing this. I'm going to go down to hell. And the only way I can do that is through death. But I'm going to go down to hell. And the only way I can do this is by breaking my Father's covenant with me. See, if you have a covenant with the Father, it's impossible for you to go to hell. Jesus had to break the covenant with the Father in order to get to hell for you. And I'm doing this. Jesus is so committed, so passionate that this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm here for. There was no half-hearted attempt in this. Did he have his moments of doubts and confusion and frustration? Sure, you can read it in John 17. He's like, man, Lord, if this cup can pass, please, please let somebody else do this. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I know I'm the only one that can do this. And you're the only one. You're the only one that can do this. Your gifts, your talents are not my talents. I promise you. There's people here far more talented than me. And in the restaurant, these people that were taking over my stores, and I've done this in several restaurants before, but these people that were taking over my stores, they were far more talented than I was. And my ego had to go in the closet. And I had to go, man, that dude, he is good. She is amazing. They are great. But it wasn't about me. It was about serving them. And if they could be served by my surrender, then yes, I surrender. I surrender. So I want to pray with us right now. God's called you guys, all of us. I mean, I could be talking to the whole world right now, and I would not, this would be true. God's called you, and you have something that no one, this is so amazing. You have something no one else has. How can that be in, what, 7 trillion people in the world? How can you have something no one else has? Just look at your fingers. No one else has the same fingerprints as you do. No one else has the same DNA as you do. Why would God do that? Why would He want to point this out that you're so special? Because you are called to something no one else can do. And so when there's a void in the body, there's a void because you've got something that can fill that. Tommy Barnett and his son Matthew Barnett run the Dream Center in Los Angeles. Huge, beautiful, old hospital that they converted, 10 stories. It's, I think, 3 times bigger than this. And when they, I remember when they started. I remember when they came to our Bible college and asked for money to start their Dream Center. And they had nothing. And Tommy Barnett was teaching at that time a sermon called "The Miracle is in the House." That's the sermon. That's what he was teaching. And he's like, man, the miracle's in the house. No matter how big your house is, the miracle is in your house. Right here, right now. Everything we need. Everything we want. We want to do all these great things. But once we get bigger, we'll do those things. No, the miracle's now. The miracle's here. You are the miracle. The miracle's in the house. So everything we need is right here. What it requires is our 100% commitment. Lord, I want that. I want whatever it is you have of me, whatever you made me to be. If I have 5 talents, if I have 10 talents, if I have 1 talent, I'm going to use it. I'm not burying this. I'm not burying this talent. But even if I have 1, I'm not burying this. Because, Father God, you gave me this 1 talent. And even in this 1 talent, no one else has 1 like it. Your 1 talent, even if you feel like you only have 1 talent, no one else has your 1 talent like you. So you're special, you're unique, and God needs you on the team. So let's bow our heads. Father God, I praise you and thank you for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Father God, is the purpose that you called the church body to be, and the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the preachers, the teachers, we all have the same job, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so, Father God, I praise you and thank you that you're maturing us to no longer be children tossed to and fro by words and winds of doctrine. But we are stable and we are mature and we're growing in the kingdom of God. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up. That we may grow up in all things. That, Father God, we have to mature. We have to grow up. We have to stop being children about the calling of God. The time is short and the need is great. Will it cost us something? Absolutely. David said, I don't want to give an offering that doesn't cost me something. The offering's not worth it if it didn't cost me something to give. And so, Father God, yes, this costs us something. But we can't give God an offering that we don't have a price, we didn't pay a price for. It's called welfare then. God doesn't accept food stamps. So, Father God, I praise you and thank you that we have the miracle in the house. The miracle's in us. The miracle's in our life. And that, Father, we have all the gifts, we have all the talents, we have all the ability to do whatever it is you want this body to do. We don't have to look any farther or look any longer. We don't have to look any harder. Jonathan said with his armor bearer, God, you can do it with many, or you can do it with few. And looked at his armor bearer and said, come on, let's go take those Philistines. And destroyed the entire army with two people. So Father God, I praise you and thank you. We got more than two people here. I'm more than equipped. I'm more than able. Father God, I'm blessed. I am blessed. And I am grateful that, Father God, that we are your family. That when I look at this body, I'm looking at you, the head. The head of this body is the church. You are the body, and we are the body, and you are the church. You're the head of us. And so when I look at this body, I'm looking at your physical body on earth. You embodied this. So of course, when two or three are gathered together in your name, of course you're there. It's because you are two or three people gathered together. You are the body that joins together. So Father God, I pray over each and every one of us. We all have needs. We all have fears. We all have hesitations and limitations, we think. But Father God, you know no limitation. That you are willing to sacrifice everything to come and give us these keys. And that, Father God, all we have to do is receive these keys and be willing to use them in our present situation as moms, as people working in the job place and construction and destruction, whatever it is we do in the restaurants. Father God, whatever business of sales and whatever business that we are in, Father God, you, Father, have equipped us and you prepared us and you've made us able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond anything that our tiny little mind can imagine. Because your mind is endless. So when we have the mind of Christ, we have this mind that is absolutely without end. Without limitation, without anything holding it, without anything stopping. Nothing can stop you. You've given the keys, you've taken the keys, you've got everything under your feet. And with a big smile and a proud heart, you hand those to us. So Father God, I pray over this kingdom. I pray over this work that everyone's doing here, blessings. Blessing on your writing, blessing on your teaching, blessing on your working, blessings on everything that you put your hand to. As Jim said, you are the head and not the tail. You are the lead and not the follower. You are the lender and not the borrower. So Father God, I praise you and thank you. These words were not spoken to just a few people. They were spoken to us all. And when we take those keys and open up those doors, we realize, wow, nothing stops us but us. Nothing stops us but us. So Father, take off every limitation today. Take off every hindrance today, because we've got this. We've got the kingdom. We've got the authority. We've got the ability. Father God, we've got the call to go forth and speak truth and life in love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you guys.